guys scared the hell out of some people though when you guys play shows outside of Texas. They didn't know what to think. You guys coming in dressed up in women's clothing and stuff and, you know, starting riots or I mean, were there a lot of riots? I mean, did you guys cause a lot?
No, I don't think, other than here in Austin, I really can't truthfully say there were ever really any riots anywhere. We got people dancing like crazy, but, you know, I mean, of course, across America, I can't say there was a riot anywhere. I'm not really sure where that rumor comes from, but there was a situation here the night we broke up that there was a mini riot where there was, you know, like a pretty crazy scene went on as far as somebody got beat up, and this Nazi guy that was, you know, much older than everyone else in the scene, and that was a pretty weird night. That came close to the edge of a riot. Of course, that's the night we broke up. But as far as like out across America, I can't truthfully say that I remember there was really any rioting or that we caused furor in a negative way. I really don't know of any time that. I might be lying to the world right now, but in all honesty, I can't think of anything that, because I can never remember any city that I ever went to that I left feeling ill at hand as to what might have happened there or something. I always had a great time. I was thrilled to be anywhere else besides my house.
Because I read something about how Jello Biafra said something to Gary Floyd when they went to play a show in California or something. He said, you know, he was, Gary, you better think twice about going out there in a dress because the big boys came through here. And I don't think they were really receptive to that whole thing.
Oh, I used to wear that stuff, and I'd get people throwing beer at me and stuff like that. But that never did bother me. That just like rolled right off me. And there were many, many times I dressed in full tilt drag, and I am proud of it. There was times when I was a pirate. There were times when I was an oil construction worker. There were times I was a doctor with a big bloody saw. There were times I was car wreck victims. There was times I was a worm. There were times when I put yard rakings all onto a suit that I glued all over me, wove branches all in my hair, and poured 5 bottles of syrup all over me, so I was a giant sticky hairball on stage.
So it's kind of like a demented, like, village people kind of thing going on there.
Well, you know, there was no gay outward pouring from myself towards, like, wearing some costume like the village people would. I had a tendency to everything I wore be a very comical view about it, you know. It's what mine was. And even when I had on like a dress, it was always with ridiculous giant lips bigger than Miss Divine, you know, and trying to be comical. I never went out there with like going, I'm a beauty pageant winner. I'm a fucked up mass murderer beauty pageant winner is what I am. So, you know, and I'm very proud of that. And I know that was part of the big boys and all the props that I continuously made to have in that band that were with us, that I, you know, that appeared on stage with me. You know, I mean, the dressing and the costumery that I did was part of it, but also the myriad amounts of cardboard cutouts and the stars from the ceiling and the backdrops that Tim and I painted were very much a part of what the big boys were. And it didn't happen all the time, and out on tour it couldn't happen much because we were in a beater van, you know, so we didn't have a lot of room. But we were very famous for, like, having theme nights and giving away toys from the stage, and it's candy night, and I buy, you know, $50 worth of penny candy, and everybody eats it, and it's everywhere. And one time my friend worked for Little Debbie Cakes here in town, and he's got all these reject cakes that are going out of date, and we threw away about 500 packages of donuts, cakes, everything, and everybody I knew just had pockets full of brownies and shit, and it was everywhere, all on the floor. Just like a sea of cake on the floor. So, you know, I mean, it could have been anything that you saw at the big boy shows.
But you definitely have, even now with Swanky, you have a presence, shall we say, on stage.
Yeah, we sure do. And try really hard at that, you know. And Swanky is has been, like, at one time an 8-piece band, and at that time they were, we're a 6-piece band now when we play. We haven't played very much at all, but we have a new CD coming out that we're going to play live several times, I'm sure, for. But the times when we've done that, I mean, there's at least 3 people in the band that have very much art careers that are going on. So to say, okay, tomorrow night's theme, or like next weekend's theme, is Billy Bubba Trailer Camp Night, and I'm going to be Billy Bubba, and you're going to be Tanqueray Dottie, and we're going to make all the shit. Everybody bring, like, clotheslines of shit, trash cans, old car tires, and the stage looks like a trailer camp, you know. And the times we've looked like plate doctors we brought all kinds of doctors and medical shit, you know, and so it's so much fun because I know the joy of theater and what it is to simply put a little bit of props up there and the audience will not forget you. Don't forget the music and be as powerful as you possibly can with the music and make that number one. But if you have all this other stuff around you to support that, it is just so much fun. Because they leave visually and mentally having had a wonderful time, you know. Hopefully. Unless they got hit by something in the head.
The big boys popularized phrases like, what are you going to do to participate, go start your own band, and go start something. Tell me how these phrases came about and the meaning behind them.
Well, I think a lot of that now go start your own band probably was Tim's something, a catchphrase that he just used a lot and used a lot in his artwork, and it became pretty much very, you know, a catchphrase with the big boys, and you know, and it was a thought that we really thought. It wasn't just like, okay, we're going to make this little thought, put it on things because it sounds like cool and, you know, cool and hip. Man, we offered the stage to so many new young bands in this city and in other places we went, like Houston and Dallas. There were many, many, many times, and I can guarantee you many friends that would say we were the band that helped them get started by giving them their first gig, by getting them on the bill with somebody big that was coming through so they could get seen, and we really did do that. And I put out like 3 different art zines where I had like 30 different artist friends contribute a page, like, you know, even though it was just Xerox off at Kinko's, we still did it. I put out like 4 different poetry zines. Tim put out countless pieces of artwork that didn't even have anything to do with the band or anything like that. Or so we really did participate a lot in the scene here, and we're very fortunate because Tim and I were very productive, and he went to UT and I believe even graduated in the art department there. So we both were just very prolific about it, and you know, just knowing that that's part of the whole thing and that being something that's innate inside of us. I didn't like go, oh, I've got to make all this art to make this happen. It was just like there and just outpoured. Just like what your favorite thing to do is, you don't control it, it just outpours on its own. And fortunately, my venting of my inside feelings came in the form of posters and music and writing and, you know, that type of thing where it was actually a visible thing. And God, I'm proud because I look back at all that because I have all my sketchbooks and have all my poster originals, most of them, you know, 9/10 of those. And I look at this and go, look at this incredible period of time that was so ripe with fun and so tongue-in-cheek crazy, you know, as far as like slapping Whitey in the face and making fun of the establishment and stuff. And I look at all my posters and all those people's posters, and especially in that book that's just coming out. I don't know if you know about that, but it's called Fucked Up and Photocopied. Have you heard?
I looked at it actually online the other day on Amazon, and it's like $40. Yeah. Maybe I can get it to student discount and get it for cheaper.
So cool. I have 21 of my posters in there. So, and you know, that just shows from the gamut of, you know, everything that I got to get in there along with millions of people. It's so cool. So that shows an incredible period of time in America. So, man, I've been happy. You know, there's been times, of course, everybody gets depressed and things don't do this and go this way for you. But overall, my life is blessed no end with the amount of fun things I get to do, and saddened by the fact that I don't have enough time to get it all done, you know. So, good stuff's coming, let me say that. I want to record again. I want to get a motherfucking Cracker Jack band, somebody that sounds like Plexi or Low Pop Suicide, somebody like that that I really feel good about, you know, that's doing something for me mentally and making me feel good but still playing powerful stuff, you know. People don't know about Plexi, get it and listen to it, you'll pee. It's so good. I think they broke up, but they were like a Bay Area San Francisco band, and man, they were just so good. And so is Low Pop Suicide. I like those guys a lot too.
You guys were the
What do I know?
You guys were the first to really get all ages shows together. How did that come about?
Just by begging the club owners to let us get the kids in, and knowing that there was a huge faction of kids, because just like wherever you grew up, there was a large faction of kids, you know, and they had a right. And a lot of times we would have like shows where, you know, bands would play early and then bands would play late, and then they would check IDs and people would, the kids would have to leave. But, you know, like start shows at 7 to where it was 7 to 10 minors or, you know, everybody, and then they would like, you know, boot everybody out. That happened before. a wonderful club here in town called Club Foot. We actually got them to open on Sunday afternoons in like a smaller part of their club to have an all-ages matinee. And we got a bunch of those got done. And I mean, really pretty cool. Fang played there, and the early L7 from Detroit, I think they played there, and a bunch of people did, you know. So we were really lucky to get that. And it was always part of it because we just wanted, you know, I mean, like we were running with a skate scene. And, of course, I was 10 years older than everybody at that time. But all those guys that were like Nathan, the horn players, you know, 16, 17, those guys wanted in bad. So we worked it a lot of times to where we could do that. And a lot of times you couldn't, of course. But people hung in the parking lots like crazy and hung out and got the vibes, you know, and until they got old enough to get in. But... And there were huge house parties here. Like, oh, my Lord, the parties and places here were crazy because there were so many people, so many different bands and people staged and parties all the time. So with, you know, 3 and 4 bands in people's yards, and you, if you don't get a sound permit, you play till the cops come. So there was a lot of interest in the young people here, and we always encouraged it. And those guys, I swear to you, today I've had people come up and say, man, I remember when y'all let us play, like, in, you know, we played with y'all, and it was like with Saccharine Trust, and it was so cool, and, you know, I'm still playing guitar, and I'm going, you know, it's a fucking testament to me that you just told me that, because it just makes me feel so good, because you know, you did something then, and I might have influenced you to be happy, and you're still happy, so, gosh, we both won.
How did you think the Big Boys and fellow brother and sister groups were different from, like, New Wave that received all the attention and money in the 80s?
Yeah, probably so, because we were just, you know, I mean, we didn't accept any of that real star pop power crap, you know, and we were who we were and smelly clothes, and I don't know. At sometimes I really wish back there we could have done better and gotten on a major label and gotten to travel to Europe and all that, but then again, I look at what joy I had from a lot of that, and I go, man, you know, think about the joy that came. Don't think about what didn't come, and relish the fact that I was part of something that I'm still proud of, you know. And I could say that, yeah, it could have been this, and yeah, it could have been that, but it was what it was, and I'm incredibly proud of that.